Hi, and welcome to the Understanding English Phrasal Verbs podcast. My name's Alyssa. I'm an English coach and a cultural guide. I help introverts and immigrants express themselves in English and better understand their new culture through introspection and language support. It's been a while since I've posted an episode, but we've had Christmas, New Year's, my birthday, and I took a little bit of time off from work this year. So usually I have a vacation every year. This year, because of COVID, that was not an option, but I tried to take a little bit of time off. But here we are. I hope that you had a good end of the year and that you're feeling good about 2021. Today, I want to talk about business English. And I'm sure that you've heard a lot about it, especially if you're learning English for work purposes. But what is it? What is business English? I'm going to tell you the truth. The truth, truth. As one of my favorite English teachers, Christian from Kangaroo English, says, business English doesn't exist. And that's kind of a radical statement. But it's pretty much true. What does exist is a massive publishing industry that sells books and courses at a higher price point because they're targeted to an audience of professionals. And not just professionals, but people who need to learn for work. So why is this true? Why is it true that business English doesn't exist? Well, I talked about formality in English in episode number 5 called Are Phrasal Verbs Informal? Formality in English Explained, but I did not touch on business English. Look, touch on, that's a phrasal verb that means to talk about a little. So a lot of languages, Russian, Spanish, French, for example, they have formal ways to speak. They can even conjugate their verbs for formality, and this includes business. It's an important feature of these languages, and if you get it wrong, it's really a big deal. English, overall, is not a formal language, and we do not have this feature, you know, of conjugating verbs to be formal. So English is just not a formal language. It tries its best to be formal at times, borrowing from Latin, especially, and French when we write, but in speaking, it just isn't. So the point here is we don't grammatically have a set way to express formality in English. Point number 2 for why this radical statement is true. Good business is done with casual language. Business in the United States these days is largely based on connection. And how do people connect? They connect through speaking to each other like human beings and not like robots. If you listen to my episode about formality, I explain how Latin-based words often sound extremely formal or academic, whereas a German-based word is used in daily life. An example of this would be the Latin word commence, or the German word start. Sorry, not Latin word, but a Latin-based word, commence, or the German-based word start. In English, being overly formal is not a good thing. It can and it will be interpreted negatively in many situations. For example, you might be perceived, or phrasal verb here, come across as snobby. Snobby means that you think that you're smarter or better than the other person. So you might be perceived as snobby, cold, uninterested in the other person, or overly focused on money. So, of course, that money part, that depends on the industry, right? But for example, imagine your English teacher is being overly focused on money. Wouldn't that make you feel weird or uncomfortable? So remember that the US is obsessed with this idea of democracy, which is supposed to represent equality. We aim or we want to have equality in most of our interactions, which includes business. Now, this wasn't so true 20 years ago, where a boss was more authoritarian. But today, good bosses don't boss people around. They lead by example and they treat people as equals. This requires like a more casual kind of language. And often within a company, people are extremely casual. Even exactly the same as friends. Pretty much exactly the same as friends, minus things like dirty jokes. In the United States, that's technically illegal. So, how do you talk in business situations? This depends on the context and if it is in speaking or writing. Remember that speaking almost always sounds informal, no matter the situation, whereas writing often sounds formal. Are you speaking to your boss, who you see every single day, the company owner, a new client, or a long-term business partner, or your coworkers? Where are you? In a weekly meeting with your close-knit team? A regional conference, giving a speech? Are you sending a company-wide email, or are you sending your boss a text message? The point here is that you would not use the same language in each situation with each person. Your best bet, if you have the chance, is to mirror the language habits of the other people around you in your same position. So, if you can, notice how your coworkers speak to each other. Notice how they speak to the boss and to the supervisor. If you don't have this opportunity, try to watch videos or series or movies of people working, of people in offices, and watch how they interact and listen, pay attention to the way they speak. So, what business English really is just speaking appropriately at work. In business, we need to be clear. Assertive, but not demanding or rude. Polite, which in English is often done with indirectness, and respectful. This also includes industry-specific jargon. Jargon are the words used in one specific industry. So these are all just regular aspects of English, you know? Clear, polite, respectful. So you need to learn those aspects. Like, what does it mean to be indirect? You know, that's saying things like, would you mind? Could you hand me? Things like that. Instead of just saying, do this, do that, open the window. Could you open the window? Or would you like to do this task? So imagine that you're late. For a weekly meeting with your office, okay? It would be super weird or very strange for you to come into the room and say, "Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Apologies for my tardiness. I arrived with a delay due to vehicle issues." Super weird. Like, this can't happen. What you could say is, "Hey guys, sorry I'm late. My car broke down." Okay, and that's exactly what you would say to a friend. So, no difference there. But this brings me to A very important point, which I mentioned earlier and I talked about a lot in episode number 5, which is written versus spoken English. So what I've been talking about so far is basically spoken business English, but yes, in written correspondence, things will seem more formal. And that's just how normal English works too, that things are written. It seems more formal, but maybe even more so in some work-related writing. Again, this also mostly depends on the context. If you're communicating through Slack or email with people who you know really well, it's going to be really informal. But if you're speaking to someone from another company or someone who you just don't know, it could sound more formal. So how does this tie in to phrasal verbs? Tie in to something means to relate to something. Well, as some English learners mistakenly assume that phrasal verbs are informal, they try to avoid them in business English, but this is a big mistake. Phrasal verbs are everywhere in business English. Let me just give you a few examples of phrases used in meetings. These are directly from a well-known business English book called Market Leader. Okay, number one, let's get down to business. Get down in this example means to start and focus. Could you hang on a moment, please? Hang on here means wait. Perhaps we could get back to the point. Get back here means return. Number four, okay, let's go over what we've agreed. Go over means review. Number five, right, to sum up then. Sum up here means summarize. Number six, I think we should move on now. Move on here means to leave this point and to continue. Number seven, can we come back to that later? Come back here means to return. So there was something like 10 different common phrases used for meetings in this part of the textbook, and most of them contained a phrasal verb. And they serve a really important purpose here, because if you used just one single word, in some of these cases, well, not only would it sound really unnatural, but it would even sound rude. For example, number two, this is also an example of what I mean when I say indirectness. Could you hang on a moment, please? It would be pronounced naturally. Could you? Could you hang on a moment, please? Could you hang on? So we're being indirect by saying, could you, because that's technically a conditional. We're not just saying, wait. Could you wait? It's just more direct and it sounds more rude, honestly. Or number three, perhaps we could return to the point. Again, somehow using this phrasal verb, perhaps we could get back to the point. Just sounds nicer. So these are not exclusive to business, okay? So I also only gave you the definition in this context, because as you know, with phrasal verbs, most of them have multiple meanings. So I just gave you the meaning within the example. So let's review. English, as it's really used, especially spoken, is not formal. Presidents give speeches talking in the same way that you'd hear teachers talking to students at school. And number two, business English, as it's spoken, is the same as casual English. You just have to make sure and be polite, respectful, and human. That doesn't require formal language. Number three, overly formal language is bad. It will be misinterpreted, and it's definitely not good for business. Business these days is based more on simple communication and connection, not showing off how many big words you know. And number four, don't avoid phrasal verbs for business. So that's all for today. Remember that teachers will use the term business English, but don't worry too much about it. What you need to know is just regular old English. This week on Instagram, which is January 18th, 2021, my friend Marissa from Multilingual Marissa and I will be posting some memes made by her and some explanations about this concept. We're also going to have an Instagram Live on Wednesday, January the 20th. If you want to learn more about learning English, follow me on Instagram at English for Introverts. For more on self-learning, goal setting, and learning multiple languages, follow Marissa at Multilingual Marissa. She is honestly the absolute best meme creator for language-related memes. Like, not kidding you. They're amazing. She also has a website dedicated to relearning a language. She's sharing her process about relearning her heritage language, which is Polish. Super interesting. I've never seen anyone sharing this process or talking about relearning languages. So check that out. In the description of this episode, I've added a link to one of her articles about how to make a bilingual resume. Now that's the kind of thing that you really need to know, like real life stuff for doing business in multiple languages. I've also added a link to the video I mentioned in the beginning by Christian at Kangaroo English called Business English Doesn't Exist. So that's it. I hope to see you over on Instagram. If you have any questions or comments, you can contact me through DMs there. Thanks for listening and see you next time. Hi, and welcome to the Understanding English Phrasal Verbs podcast. My name is Alyssa. I'm an English coach, and I help introverts and immigrants express themselves in English and better understand their new culture through introspection and language support. Hi, and welcome to the Understanding English Phrasal Verbs podcast. My name is Alyssa, and I'm an English coach. I help introverts and immigrants express themselves in English and better understand their new culture through introspection and language support. Hi, and welcome to the Understanding English Phrasal Verbs podcast. My name is Alyssa, and I am an English coach. I help introverts and immigrants express themselves in English and better understand their new culture through introspection and language support. Hi again, and welcome back. I've recently moved into a new apartment, and now I have a quieter space to record, so no more weird neighbor sounds. And in other news, I have recently had my 3-year anniversary of living in Argentina. So all new nice things. Today, I want to talk about something that honestly I should have talked about in episode 1 or 2, and that is why even learn phrasal verbs. So everyone knows that they're complicated, and some English students even say that they hate them. If there is many times a one-word equivalent, then why even bother? So let's get right into it. I'm going to give you 5 reasons why you should continue studying phrasal verbs. Okay, number 1. If you want to understand movies or series or even books in English, you'll need to be able to at least understand what phrasal verbs mean, because movies and series in English are pretty close to how people speak in real life. That means that they are absolutely full of phrasal verbs. Unlike in real life, they also might contain more idioms and cliches. This depends on the kind of movie or series, and in general, good movies and series won't use so many idioms or cliches unless it's to be ironic and funny. For example, Friends, I think that they use a lot of the style of humor, they use a lot of idioms or cliches, and it is for comic effect. If you're watching with subtitles in your native language, which you should stop doing if you want to improve your listening, by the way, these phrasal verbs are often being poorly translated. Sometimes a phrasal verb is just more specific than its single word verb form, so it's better if you know what they're really saying. In nonfiction, you won't find as many phrasal verbs, but in fiction, which is supposed to be the same as spoken dialogue, you will find plenty. Okay, reason number two, this applies specifically or mostly to immigrants or people traveling to an English-speaking country. If you want to be able to understand people in real life, you will have to be able to understand phrasal verbs. So, actually, I don't try to make my students or even listeners of this podcast necessarily use phrasal verbs themselves, but you must at least be able to understand them. And that task is much easier than using them. So don't worry if they seem scary, because understanding is much easier than using. But if you're going to an English-speaking country, or if you'll be working with native English speakers, we use them constantly. It's really hard to find a dialogue that doesn't have at least one phrasal verb. So if you're moving to an English-speaking country, it is absolutely necessary. Number three also applies mostly to immigrants or people traveling in an English-speaking country. And this one might surprise you. If you want to connect to those people in real life in an English-speaking country, you'll want to try to use some phrasal verbs. So this is not about accent discrimination or xenophobia. It's just basic psychology. People feel closer and more connected to people who sound like them. There's a quote by Nelson Mandela that says, "If you talk to a man in a language he understands, that goes to his head. If you talk to him in his language, that goes to his heart." I think that's a beautiful quote. I love it. So, why might you want to connect with someone on such a deep level? So, the first thing you might think of are personal or romantic relationships, but also business. I don't really know about business of the past, but I know that the business of today, in the United States at least, is really about connection and connecting, and people want to work with people and buy from people who they have some amount of connection with, who they feel like understands them. There's even an idiom for when you agree with someone that goes, "Now you're speaking my language." It's kind of a business phrase. So, whether or not we realize it, we do switch up the way that we talk when we talk to different people. This is kind of a survival strategy. It's called code switching. If this is the first time that you've heard of code switching, I have some links to some information about it in the description of this podcast. Have you ever noticed this? Have you ever noticed someone or yourself doing this, changing the way they talk around different people? It may be that they talk using different words or a different accent or a different attitude. That's called code switching. And we all do it to certain degrees because I guess arguably formality could also be considered code switching, right? Like you don't talk the same way to your grandma as you would talk to your friends or to a teacher. Important note about code switching. Historically, code switching has served as a form of defense from linguistic discrimination. or discrimination in general for people who actually visibly look different from others or from the majority. In the United States, it is used a lot by Black people to, I'm using air quotes, sound white, because in some situations, unfortunately, sounding Black is not safe or accepted. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, maybe I will have an episode related to different dialects of English. There is a dialect called AAVE, or African American Vernacular English. This is a dialect of English used by many, maybe most, Black people in the United States. It has different grammar, it has different, it's different vocabulary and different forms of connected speech, and Black people code switch in the United States to avoid discrimination. Again, I added a link to two different videos about this topic. One of them is really in depth, one of them is less in depth, and then also an article. I want to show you an example of this by someone, Barack Obama. I think that, I'm actually not like obsessed with Barack Obama. He's just a good example sometimes for the things I'm trying to point out to you. So I want to show you an example of Barack Obama code switching. And remember, we're talking about code switching because we're talking about connecting with people. And if we want to connect with someone, maybe your coworker from Canada, or you live in the United States and you want to connect more with your neighbors or something, it might feel good to talk like them. So, I guess I should include, yeah, I need to include first a clip of Obama, how you usually hear him talking, giving a speech or whatever. And then I will show you Barack Obama talking with, first he's talking with Stephen Curry. I guess that's a sports guy. It is important to mention Black. I guess he's a basketball star. And then also in the other video, he's talking to, who is he talking to in this video? Okay, give me one second. Okay, this first clip is Barack Obama speaking to a crowd of young men about masculinity.
Being a man is first and foremost being a good human. And that means being responsible, being reliable, working hard, being kind, being respectful.
Okay, in the same talk, here he is like basically addressing rappers, saying, if you are confident in your sexuality, why would you need eight women twerking on you? So it's as if he's having a conversation with a rapper, and listen to how he makes this comment.
I mean, why are you, why are you all like, you seem stressed that you.
He had a visible change in the way. Maybe, I'm not sure if you noticed that, but he basically switched to AAVE for that comment. Here's one more example of Obama speaking differently when he is doing like a volcano experiment with Stephen Curry, who I think is a basketball star.
Man,
that's what I'm talking
about.
That's
what I'm talking
science.
about. That's science.
Anyways, so Obama has been, he was really well known for doing this and for doing this really well. When he greets a crowd of people, he like customizes his greeting for who each person is, and he does it very well. He can go into any group of people and basically speak like them. It's not something fake. It's that he belongs to different groups with different kinds of people, and he can adapt in that way. So that's code switching. Okay, the fourth reason is if you want to sound more natural. So phrasal verbs are not used excessively in formal written correspondence. And I want to make a note here. Your day-to-day email within your own office is most likely not formal. Email in general is not really formal. But in speaking, phrasal verbs show up everywhere. And actually, I want you to know this, that not using phrasal verbs and opting for a single Latin-based word, it often throws off the sentence. That means that the word sounds out of place. Okay, the following example comes from an online magazine called MED, Macmillan English Dictionary. And they say, one purpose of not using phrasal verbs is to create a deliberate stylistic incongruity for humorous effect. For example, what time did you rise this morning? Rather than, what time did you get up or wake up this morning? As mentioned in my episode called Are Phrasal Verbs Informal? Phrasal verbs are no more or no less formal than any other vocabulary word. Actually, they can be formal, informal, but they're basically usually neutral. And did you know that there are special phrasal verbs that would be considered appropriate specifically for medical or business English? And others that seem strangely formal. Just like any other normal words. Also from Med Magazine Online, one literary critic review of contemporary fiction was criticizing an author for not using enough phrasal verbs. So this was posted in the magazine. They were discussing formality of phrasal verbs, and they found this example of a literary review. And the critic was saying that, you know, this was a literary critic. This wasn't, like an English teacher or grammar person, but the literary critic said he called the author's lack of phrasal verbs a quote, major problem. And he said that the characters seemed detached and overly formal. So basically, if you want to sound natural, you should try to throw in some phrasal verbs because in some cases, it will sound really awkward. Okay, number five, the last one, is if you want to express a very specific action, because sometimes a phrasal verb is the only way. Sometimes a single word could more or less describe something in the same way as a phrasal verb, but many times it just isn't the same because it isn't as specific. So let me give you some examples. In these examples, I'm only comparing one meaning from each one of these words, okay? Because as you know, these phrasal verbs have multiple meanings, and also these words have multiple meanings. So I'm only comparing one. Okay, disguise and dress up. Disguise means that you're hiding your identity, whereas dress up is often done for fun, but not necessarily to hide who you are. Hang out and meet. So the word meet is really vague. It can be used for business. Sorry, it cut off. So meet can be used for business, meetings, The first time that you see someone, or just when you go to see or visit your friends, it doesn't tell you anything about what kind of situation it is, how long it will last, but hang out also means meet, but in a relaxed way, maybe with no plans, just to pass the time. It likely won't be something short, like only drinking a coffee. So hang out and meet, not necessarily the same thing. Really, they're not. And the last one, get over versus recover. So recover means to no longer be sick or to just go back to normal. But get over can mean to no longer be upset or sad about a situation. Recover has this very serious connotation. Connotation is like the unspoken, maybe undefined sensation or feeling behind a word. So you could say, she is fully recovered from cancer. Okay, because recover sounds serious. But when your friend gets upset or annoyed because you ate all of her fries, you could say, get over it. And you could not say here, recover from it. So finally, here's just a few phrasal verbs that are almost impossible to avoid or to replace with just a single verb, either because the meaning is more specific or that's just the way it is. These are completely random. These are not like anything special. These are just the first ones that came to my mind, but these are very common, so they're worth learning. Wake up, turn off, turn on, look back, look forward. Sorry, look forward to. Hang up, figure out, find out, come back, come in, take off. Well, that is all for today. I hope this has encouraged you or motivated you in some way to continue on this journey of understanding and studying phrasal verbs. They're really important. I promise you that it's going to be worth it. You may be finding and studying phrasal verbs and you may think, when or where will I ever use this or ever hear this? But the funny thing about learning something new is that once you learn it, you'll start to notice it everywhere if you pay attention. So always be mindful in your learning. If you have any questions about learning phrasal verbs, you can come send me a DM on Instagram at english.4.introverts. Or you can send me an email at english.4.introverts@gmail.com. See you next time.